Right. Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with experts to get your questions answered live. Today I'm here with Gal Levy and with Yi Gu. And by the way, the questions are live, so go ahead and enter your questions now. But first I'll have Gal and Yi introduce themselves. Gal, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Sure. Hey, everyone. It's great to be here. I'm Gal Levy. I'm a PM on the Azure Cosmos DB API for MongoDB team.
And Yi? I don't think we can hear you. You must be muted on your end.
I'm sorry. Hi again. My name is Yi Gu. I'm one of the program managers for Azure Cache for Redis. It's my pleasure here today to answer any questions you might have about our service.
Fantastic. And my name is Kyle Teagarden. I'm the product marketing manager for Azure Cache for Redis, and I'm going to be here as a moderator, fielding questions and sending them to Gal and to Yi. So go ahead and enter your questions now in the live chat, and then we have some experts standing by via chat, and then, of course, Gal and Yi as well. So go ahead and enter those now. So let me go ahead and get one question here. This one is on the new Cosmos DB Mongo API. I'll direct this to Gal. The question here is, how do you upgrade to version 4.0?
So upgrading usually isn't the most exciting thing to do, but in this case, it actually is pretty exciting because all it takes is a click of the button. You basically press a button in the portal UI or in the Azure CLI, and the upgrade takes seconds, if not up to minutes to complete, all with zero downtime and minimal effort on your end.
Fantastic.
Very, very easy.
That sounds very easy. And when someone's asking about version 4.0, that is the MongoDB API 4.0?
Yeah.
Fantastic, cool. All right, let's do a question for Yi. So this one is on Azure Cache for Redis, the new enterprise offering. The question is, doesn't Azure Cache for Redis already offer geo-replication? How is this different? And I think this is the active geo-replication of the new enterprise tiers.
So that's a really good question. So currently, we have geo-replication for our open source-based Redis. And because open source only allow you to really use one of the locations as your primary site for read and write. What our geo replication does today is that it's primarily a solution for you to create disaster recovery, in the sense that you can stand up a secondary region to be able to receive data and serve as a hot standby in case your primary region is down for whatever reasons. So in that sense, you're still mainly reading and writing to the primary region. The secondary region is there in case you need to fail over. Now, the active geo-replication that comes with the enterprise tier works quite differently. What that gives you is the additional capability to be able to read and write in multiple regions. So that way you can enjoy the low local latencies that's available to you in the multiple regions that your application connect to, and the software that powers this capability is then able to replicate the data across multiple regions and reconcile any potential conflict between the data sets.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a good distinction to make. All right, I'm going to alternate here, going back to Gal for a question on Cosmos. This is from Jesse. Some good questions coming in here. And Jesse asks, what are some best practices for implementing multi-document transactions with Cosmos DB?
Sure. Think about that for a second. So one thing to note with 4.0 is multi-document transactions are only supported within a non-sharded, as in fixed, collection. So if you're planning on using multi-document transactions, make sure your use case fits that kind of deployment. In terms of actually using them, it's a good thing to use, but if you find yourself using them everywhere around your code base, you're probably doing something wrong with your data model because there is a performance and therefore a cost penalty to actually using multi-document transactions. So if you're using it too much, you should probably look at denormalizing your data or changing your data model a bit to make you less needing to use it.
Got it. Good tips from the pros here. All right, back to you, Yi. We got some great questions coming in. Folks, keep the questions coming. This is a question from Elliot T. I think this is a really, really valid one here. He asks, where should we think about using the new enterprise tier of Azure Cache for Redis, the one we introduced at Ignite, versus the current premium tier? What are the advantages of each? When would you want to use one over another?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are a couple of ways to think about this. The first one is, you know, strictly on performance. Now, premium, you know, currently is our, you know, fastest, you know, offerings. And, you know, enterprise, you know, with its additional optimization over open source is able to achieve even higher throughput. So that's one of the things that you may want to consider, you know, if you have an application that require, you know, really high operations per second. Enterprise, you know, does give you, you know, the additional throughput performance that you may need. So that's one consideration, you know, you should have. The second one is, you know, whether, you know, you need the additional capabilities, you know, particularly, you know, the module extensions that comes, you know, with the enterprise tiers. So, you know, one of the advantage of, you know, of using, you know, the enterprise tier is to be able to, you know, to add additional support for the type of data that you work with. So enterprise tier, you know, currently comes with, you know, three additional modules. The first one is Redis time series that, you know, makes it easy, you know, for anybody who works on time-based data set. So, you know, it allows you to not only, you know, store, you know, this type of data, but also be able to, you know, perform certain type of operations, you know, such as data aggregations directly on the server, and you know, thereby, you know, offload, you know, those operations from your application itself. The second module is Redis Search. So this actually, you know, brings similar capability to Elasticsearch, you know, directly into Redis. It allows you to, you know, index the data set that, you know, you store in Redis, and then be able to, you know, to look up the data, you know, based on keywords, for example, using Redis itself. And the third one is Redis Bloom. Bloom is great if you are working with analytical, you know, applications, because it allows you to store probabilistic data structures, you know, directly in Redis. And then the third consideration is really around SLAs. So with enterprise, you know, particularly, you know, the support for multiple availability zones as well as active geo replication, you're able to enjoy much, you know, even higher SLAs beyond what we currently offer in the enterprise tier. And then lastly, you know, if you ever need a really large cache, Redis, you know, flash, you know, the enterprise flash tier gives you, you know, a big, you know, cost per gigabyte, you know, advantage over the other ones that we have.
Cool. Good summary there. Well, I'll take it back to Gaul. And I think this is a good question just for those less familiar, like myself, with the new Mongo API. So a question from Jeffrey, in terms of the new features available in this update to Cosmos DB, what are kind of the killer applications you see people using with this updated API?
So it sounds like there's two questions there. One of them is like what are the killer features are actually making 4.0 so exciting? The other one's like what applications would they be good for? To answer the first one, the main features here are multi-document transactions, which we previously discussed, which allow you to essentially take many operations and treat them as one. So dependent operations such as banking transactions, shopping carts, stuff like that, are great use cases for multi-document transactions. The second kind of main feature is new aggregation functions that will make your life as a developer easier because you don't have to do that work in your code base instead. Lastly, is just better compatibility with tooling that supports 4.0 plus. Having that version change really helps there. I think that kind of answered applications that work well with multi-document transactions as well. So I think I actually answered both questions in a way. Let me know.
Nice. Yeah. Efficiency is always good. Cool. Well, a question for Yi. You mentioned Redis modules. We're talking about the enterprise versus premium difference. There's a question from Blair on those modules. You know, kind of a similar question for Gal, but you know, with those specific modules, what are some of the key use cases we expect to see? And does that really unlock any new applications or use cases with Bloom, Time Series, and Search?
Yeah, really good questions. You know, these modules generally are pretty flexible. So, you know, if you're dealing with the type of data that fit into what the module support, you know, these will be great, you know, candidates for you. Now, specific to the three modules that I mentioned earlier, you know, the first one, because, you know, it's you know, time-based, you know, data structures. So imagine, you know, if you have an IoT application where you need to ingest a lot of data to your storage backend, right? You can now actually use Redis, for example, as a way to, you know, to stage and buffer that ingestion, and actually, you know, do some of the aggregations before you, you know, commit the data to, for example, you know, Cosmos DB or another data store on the backend. For Bloom, I think, you know, it's good for, you know, for any type of analytical applications. And then Search, obviously, it, you know, has, you know, pretty broad, you know, applications. You know, if you have any need, you know, to use a search engine, you know, somewhere in your application, then this comes into play.
Very cool. I like it. All right. Well, I'm still alternating here, so I'll go jump back to Gal.
If I jump in and give some more clarity on one of your questions, is that okay?
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
So initially we kind of spoke about upgrading and how easy it was. And I thought I could like kind of dive a bit deeper into why that's so easy. Because as a developer, it sounds kind of like crazy, like upgrading a database in seconds. That doesn't really make sense to me. So I want to explain why, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with Cosmos DB, unlike many other databases typically have an individual code base for each version. And when you upgrade, you're doing a lot of work switching from version to version. Cosmos DB API for MongoDB essentially all operates from one singular code base. And each version change, each MongoDB API version change is essentially enabling and disabling feature flags. So when you upgrade from 3.6 to 4.0, it only takes a few seconds because we're just enabling and disabling feature flags to make your experience the same as using that 4.0 version, but with the Cosmos DB backend powering that with all the features of that.
Nice, good clarity. Yeah, and that's good to hear too. I mean, great for anyone that wants a quick path to update and access those exciting new features in 4.0. So I guess this question from Ingrid kind of ties into some of that as well, which is, it's about serverless. And she asked, what is serverless and how can I deploy it? I think I'd probably ask, in addition to that, does the MongoDB API 4.0 also support serverless like other Cosmos DB APIs?
Yeah, the answer for that is yes, it does. It's currently in preview. So to deploy serverless, you would go and create a database account with MongoDB API, the Azure Cosmos DB API from MongoDB, and you would select serverless preview as a deployment option. And what's really cool about serverless is you only pay for what you use. So essentially, you just throw a workload at it, and then you don't have to worry about it. You know, for a week, you won't pay anything for it, and then you throw more work at it. And it's great for development and test workloads because those kind of match those development work styles.
Cool. I like it. And just for people that are unfamiliar, can you talk a bit more about Cosmos DB and serverless and how it handles those requests?
Yeah, I'm thinking of what I can expand there. So serverless is one of the three deployment options that we offer. So when you deploy an Azure Cosmos DB account, you have three options. One is provision throughput, which is great for workloads where you have a consistent kind of workload and you know exactly what you need to use and you want to optimize your costs. So you set it to some number of request units, RUs essentially, and that's what your account is set to. The second option is called auto-scale, and that's great for workloads that are spiky, that go up or down depending on seasonality over time. And that's really cool because it's you only pay for what you use, but the actual scaling is instant. You don't have to wait at all. It comes to me immediately. So, and lastly, you have serverless, which we just discussed.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for running through those. So another question for Yi on Redis Enterprise. This one again is again from Blair, and she says, sounds like the enterprise tiers include Redis 6.0. What features does that add?
Good question. So Redis 6.0 expand on the previous version to add a number of things. I think a lot of it is actually, you know, optimization to use, you know, multi-threading. So that was one of the limitations to the previous version of Redis. I think, you know, that you can see through, you know, from some of the performance improvements. A lot of the 6.0 features are really, you know, around, enhancements, right? The other one, now this isn't directly, you know, tied to the Redis, you know, 6.0 itself, but, you know, it's an enhancement. So basically Redis 6.0 has a way, you know, to allow you to, you know, implement efficient client-side caching. This obviously, you know, require, you know, client-side support as well. But, you know, with this, you know, not only, you know, you can use the Redis server as your distributed cache, but you can further, you know, cache certain data locally. So that brings the data even closer to the point, you know, in your application where, you know, that data is being consumed. Those are like really like, you know, the realized advantage, you know, to 6.0 right now.
Very cool. So for folks listening, please keep sending questions in. We're rapidly burning through these questions. So please send those in before our time is over. You see the link there pop up on the screen. And there actually is another question that just came in from Charlotte that ties into your answer, Yi, on performance and multi-threading. She asks, how does the performance of the enterprise flash tiers compare with the performance of the enterprise tier?
That's an excellent question. You know, I would say that in general, the two performance are quite similar. Now, the way that, you know, the flash works, and this is also the key difference, you know, between flash and all the other tier is that flash basically allows us to utilize the SSD on a virtual machine and use that to memory extend, you know, the dynamic, you know, RAM in a machine. So this is, you know, how we achieve, you know, lower, you know, cost per gigabyte, because, you know, generally speaking, SSD, you know, memories are cheaper than DRAMs. Now, because of that, you know, you do pay a performance penalty on the data set that gets written out, you know, to the SSDs. That said, however, you know, the Redis enterprise software has tuned, you know, the performance, so it can heuristically, you know, figure out what data is hot, thereby, keep those data in DRAM, based on, frequency of access and other patterns, and what data, can be, offloaded to SSD. So that's why, on average, the performance should still be quite comparable to what you can get on the other tiers.
Yeah, and that's a really good distinction to make with the, it's not just NVMe memory, flash memory, it's also DRAM on that instance plus that as well.
Yes.
That's a good distinction. So question back to Gaul on Cosmos, Jason asks, what are your plans to support future versions of MongoDB?
In terms of plans, like, are you asking like which version comes next, that kind of thing, or?
Wasn't clear from the question, but yeah, okay. Imagine it's, are there plans to support versions beyond 4.0 and maintain some level of parity, or are we allowed to share that? I don't know.
The answer is yes. We continue to do work, towards that, and our goals are to maintain version parity and make sure that it's very easy to use Azure Cosmos DB as if it were a MongoDB database, and that's our goal here. We want to make it as easy as possible for developers to use, and take advantage of those skills they have using the MongoDB APIs and the tools and SDKs and drivers.
Yeah. That's a huge ecosystem, and that's exciting to hear. That's awesome. I didn't know the answer there. And I'm sure most people, including Jason, will be excited to hear that there's plans to continue that support. So going back to you with the question, and you know, in some ways this applies to both Cosmos DB and Azure Cache for Redis, which is the addition of active geo replication in the enterprise tiers of Azure Cache for Redis, which we announced in preview. And so maybe a question for both of you in some ways. By the way, Gaul, Jason just said yes and thanks. So you answered the question, and he's excited. Well done. But going back to active geo replication, whatever you want to call it, in both services now, I'd love to hear from both of you how you see users using that. Maybe Gaul for you in the past with Cosmos, and in the future with the add-in with Mongo, and Yi now being a new service, a part of Azure Cache for Redis. Where do you see people using that? So maybe starting with Yi, how do you see active geo replication changing use of Azure Cache for Redis?
Yeah, so from our point of view, it's important to keep in mind that Redis at the end of the day is designed really for ephemeral storage, right? So its primary use case is distributed caching. So with active geo replication, it gives you the ability to expand the footprint of your cache to multiple regions. So you can create a distributed cache not only within a single data center or within a region, but now you can have a globally distributed cache. That said, caching is still the primary use case. Now, of course, I think where we may have a little bit overlap with Cosmos DB is when you use Redis as a session store, right? So both services are great for storing session data, and I think that's where perhaps you have I would say you have two choices now instead of one previously.
Love it. And maybe a similar question to you, Gaul, with active geo-replication, and Cosmos has been around for a while. Where do you see customers be really successful with that? And do you see any integration with that and with the MongoDB API, people using those two things together in cool ways?
Yeah, so I think I can expand that into like what's the story for having very mission critical workloads. If you have a workload that's very, very important to you, you want to have ultimate security there. You want to have five nines of availability. Simply by turning on multi-region writes, it's just checkboxes in the UI, you get that availability, and you can go and select multiple regions in the UI, just click on buttons on the world map view, and it's very, very easy. And you get that comfort and security knowing that your import applications will continue to run no matter what happens.
Cool. Hey, that's great. So we are getting close to time. So please, if you have any last questions, slide those in. I think we've exhausted our remaining queue of questions, although I do see one more question from our friend Jason. And he goes, me again, any information on support for older versions of MongoDB, like 3.6? So I'll go back to Gaul for that. More Mongo questions for you.
Yeah, so this kind of fits in really well with the upgrade scenario. So we discussed how everything shares the same code base. And what's really cool about that is that that means we don't need to retire older versions, because the actual maintenance of having to maintain those versions is extremely, extremely simple compared to maintaining multiple code bases. So we have no current plans for end-of-lifing 3.2 or 3.6. And our policy is that we have to wait at least 3 years after notifying folks that we're planning on retiring a version. So if you like using an older version, feel free to continue doing so. We are not going to force you to upgrade anytime soon.
Good to hear. We tend to be pretty persnickety about backwards compatibility and support at Microsoft. So I hope that it puts people's minds at ease. Fantastic. Well, I think we have exhausted our questions for today. Thank you so much for attending. Read a little outro here. So thanks for joining. Check out the link below to watch this and more episodes on demand and find out what episodes are coming up soon. And you'll see the banner right below me for that link. So thank you again for attending. And on behalf of myself, Yi, and Gaul, we appreciate your use of Azure and hope you enjoy these new features. Thank you.